Take it, Heist.
All right, here we are, Worldwide Live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making it possible for all of us. And I welcome those who are listening to BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. We still have the phone lines open, and we welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Teresa in Indiana.
Good evening, Teresa. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Teresa.
Hello, Michael.
Two more people joined in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania. Hi, hi.
Marilyn, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Michael in Camino.
Good evening, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, hi.
All right. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Steve from West. Oh, sorry.
Is it Amaranda?
Yeah.
All right. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. How are you doing?
All right. Doing well.
Thank good.
Yeah.
We're going to have a recorded call today, huh?
And this is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good today. Thank you.
All right. You sound hollow.
I'm on the roof. I went in the bathroom so the wind wouldn't make noise.
Right.
So we have a recorded call tonight?
Correct, yes. It was a pretty awesome call. I remember only bits of it from 2011, where a member of the Ra group who walked here on this planet 10,000 years ago, 10,000 B.C., all of
uh-huh.
us. Out of the blue, we had a question about the pyramids, and this entity spoke through Terry, and it was pretty neat.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You spoke with the Octarians?
I couldn't copy that 100%. Michael, repeat that.
Did you say he spoke with the Octarians?
It was a member of the Ra group who was there in the time when they built manifested the pyramids, and that entity spoke through Terry on a Wednesday call.
He spoke through the Octarians.
Octarians? What are Octarians?
Well, that's when Terry is on an ark. I think that's why Michael thought it was the Arcturians, okay?
Welcome those who just joined in. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heist. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Win under?
Yo.
Yo.
Is Terry a winner?
Yes.
Hello, Terry. Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
How are you?
Are you coming?
I'm good.
Too many emails for you to purchase a revolution.
People joined in if you want to.
They're
going to
make you a.
Do I see a guy by the name of Finch on the line?
This is Matt from California. In the meantime, more people join in, and I welcome you all, and if you have a chance, and you want
patient. Good evening. Hi, it's Joel from Chicago.
Hey, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Joel.
I hear an echo. It's from you, Dharmananda. You have speakerphone on?
No, I don't. I'm just using my microphone.
All right.
I got my ear.
Cutting out. All right, I welcome you all, and if you just fade it over here, if you want to, please say your name and location.
Carla in Okotoks.
Hey, Carla, how are you?
I'm good, I'm
good. I'm okey-doke, too. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, I'm in Michigan here.
Who's it from Michigan?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi,
Nancy. Hi. Is it Susan?
And Cindy in Peoria, Arizona.
Oh, hi, Cindy.
Hi, hi. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Wynn. How you doing? Oh,
all right.
Sorry. Sorry, take that back.
All right, we let it slip. Okay. Okay, I think we should get started.
Great.
And,
I got the dings, Win.
Okay. You got the dings, I got the dongs. Uh-oh. That was bad, wasn't it? Ding-dong. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is the live conference on November 18th, 2013. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there's a couple of things, like one major spiritual word is etc. You know, no matter what you do today, tomorrow is going to come. And yesterday is going to go. And that life is a flow. I'm not trying to be poetic here. And how does one get into the flow? And that is probably the greatest challenge. And, of course, it's going to be different for everyone. And, you know, I notice that I start to get into a flow on the calls, and then I get really tired for a day or two, and I have to recoup my energy, because, believe it or not, that this is, I don't know if Terry experiences this as much as I do, but I'm more in the human interface on the calls. So, it seems like when we have like a really, really good call, like we did yesterday, and a lot of beautiful energy on the call, today I looked like I have sleep a good portion of the day. And then I'm thinking I have all these things to do, and I'm busy sleeping. And even now, you're probably hearing my voice, I'm tired because it's processing. You know, there's a certain amount of, there's a saying that goes, sometimes one has to give up what's near to get what's far. I understand that because sometimes we look for, how can I say this? You know, we want to be joyful and happy all the time. And yet, if you do the things that are joyful and happy, then you may be, this is a fine line, because obviously when you get into a flow, you're joyful and you're happy and you're moving on that joy. And then on the other side of the coin, there's a certain degree of sacrifice to say, in order to get what's far, you have to give up what's near, which means one might have to give up a moment of joy in order to do something where they're processing a whole bunch of energy. And what's far is those people are going to, if we have the projection right, those people are going to, over time, be so much more powerful manifestors in this realm. And then they might have to do the same thing, that there's a giving up of what's close for what's far, for the benefit of the evolution of humans. And that's a tricky concept to figure out. Terry, Are you there?
She just dropped out.
Oh. I won't let her put her 2 cents in. I know Carla Rucker would understand that concept. I mean, if she was here, we could talk about that. Because when one goes on a... Are you there, Terry? Are you back? No. You know, it was interesting reading about St. Catherine, which I started to read. I started to read Raymond's book on St. Catherine, which I might mail out to everybody. It's a free download. It's a free PDF file. And how St. Catherine actually punished herself, like slept on wood slabs, would stay up all night, wouldn't eat.
Winter.
And trying to, I see she's there, trying to keep herself out of the physical, I guess, so she could be, she would have used the word servant of God at that time. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here, yeah.
You know, we're talking about giving up what's near for what's far. And sometimes when one is working on a trajectory, you know what a trajectory is? A trajectory is a vision that goes into the future. It's not happening, but it starts with an idea in the now. And, of course, the best ideas are ones that you can do an idea and immediately bring it to completion and it's successful. Like, let's go to the movies. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Doesn't have fun, you know? And when you create a trajectory in the future, sometimes you have to do a lot of things on that trajectory till the future comes in and actually manifest. It might take a month, it might take a year, it might take a lifetime. And so, in any case, we're talking about how one sacrifices in the moment for that trajectory. And then I mentioned St. Catherine, who... or Terry, even this lifetime. I mean, she'll stay up all night working on transcripts. And I know she's thinking about the people that are going to read those transcripts and have some kind of enlightenment or upliftment as a result of reading them. And so she has to sacrifice her sleep so she gets it done. And we still don't get them all done. We need lots of money to pay someone to organize it all so we could put them all up. And then we need to be reaching a million people. But at least we're setting a template up so it's there. And it's one really challenging vision. You know, things happen only because there's vision. If there's no vision, it doesn't happen. And so that we're holding this vision for something to happen. And something is happening. I mean, I should say, you know, you guys are here, and we have made a contribution to your life. And that's the fulfillment of a vision to see, I think this work is good. You know, there was a point where I had to say, I think people are going to find this work important. And no, but it was in a place where no one was finding it important. So I had to have a vision that that might occur. But I, you know, one is not always right in their vision. So I had to hold that vision and hold it, and you know, for even a few years before I saw actually how it worked, how people would find it important, and how it would make a contribution to people. And believe me, that was, I wouldn't call those few years fun. That was difficult. That was challenging. That was enduring. And yet, we did it, and now all you people are here. Now, this is a new vision, and that is that this is moves out, and suddenly there are thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. And I remember, after I was on George Norrie the first time, and of course that was the fulfillment of a vision, just to reach that many people, but that wasn't the end, that was the beginning, because suddenly they were all on our calls, and they were all expecting miracles, and they were expecting, you know, something. And I didn't know how it would work. Some of you people are those people. So you understand. And it's kind of working. And I think in every one of our lives, there's this place where we have to keep ourselves fulfilled. We have to keep ourselves as fulfilled as we can in the moment. And then where is your vision? Where is your trajectory? Because the ultimate fulfillment of having a life worth living, a life that you say of accomplishment, and accomplishment doesn't mean, you know, worldly accomplishment. It might mean bringing up your children so they are beautiful, enabled, loving beings in the world. Who knows what it is, but figure out what your trajectory is so that even in the now, you can create a trajectory into the future where you can see, what do I need to do to make this happen? And just go, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And this is where your vision has to be something that's possible. Now, you know, if I say if I have a vision of having a million people discovering this, and maybe 10 million, my God, it gives me a headache. How much energy we have to hold. And you guys have to help, because I can't hold that much energy just by myself. In fact, all of us together probably can't hold it. Then we're going to learn to do our best, and other people will come forward to help hold energy. And other people will come forward who need that, and we'll ride on it and grow with it. And other people will come forward and call us a bunch of scumbags. And, you know, that's just the way it works. And then we have to, like, bite our tongues for the people that are, you know, for whatever reason, people are challenged by this kind of thing. But, I mean, the reason is it confronts their reality system. And, it's, you know, I'm not trying to confront anyone's reality system, but nonetheless, it's the nature of the beast. And, Terry, we have a really interesting call tonight. And those of you that read the Carla Ruckert material would have remembered the 10,000 B.C., 10,000 B.C., during the time of Ra-Ta, Edgar Cayce was a priest in 10,000 B.C., and according to the Ruckert material, the Ra group was working with Ra-Ta. They were building pyramids by levitation. They were doing healings, and they manifested bodies that were visible. And we did a session in 2011 where we had a question about that. And a voice came through Terry that identified itself as one of the members of the Ra group who had actually been in Egypt and manifested a body. And it was like a jaw-dropping, spellbinding call, and I decided to play it tonight and give myself a break. But we have so many amazing archives that it felt like it would be more interesting than to do something a of the moment today. And Terry, before I start that, do you want to say anything about anything?
I remember that call. He was really reticent about coming through, but it seemed like he was the holder of the information that could be brought out to see what it was that needed to be said about that. So he came through kind of reluctantly. That's what I
remember. I remember. And, you know, the idea was that from the Rad Group's point of view, that particular manifestation ended up being more negative than positive, because the priests took up the name Ra, and when you read Egyptian history, and you hear the name Amun-Ra, Amun, it was not the Ra group, it was negative. And the word Amen is probably derivative of that, and it shows how strongly the negative had controlled this realm for a long time, because all the religions picked it up. But let me start. I might have to fast forward it a little bit to get to that point, but because I had 50 minutes, and we're 20 minutes into this. We have 35 minutes, so I have to fast forward it a little further just to get to that point. So just bear with me. I'll start to let it play, and then we'll get to the place where they start.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'on, February 2nd, 2011. And we pay our energies over the planet, and we see a cold area over a part of Canada and the U.S. And over other areas, we look at the ocean and we see that it is indeed winter in the northern hemisphere. We look at the Africa, and we look at Australia, and we send greetings and love light and support to individuals that have been in the flooded area. And we are mindful of everyone on this call tonight and send you our love light and are here to answer any questions. Do you have questions?
Yes. This is a question from the fellow who I read his email to me. And he asks, what's the best way to open our hearts over the 51%? And the best means...
One can observe...
I'm fast-forwarding this, because
and can be...
I want to get to the point.
When are you there?
Sorry, I was muted. Thank you. We have a question from Nancy Jones, which is something which has been covered in the past. And maybe I will take the first stab at answering and see if there's anything left or anything to correct in what I say. The question is, what is DNA activation, and why do I need it? That's how I have learned it works. And
the strands of the DNA, and that one can move through the upper...
By the way, this call was on 2/11/2012/11. In the archives. So if you wanted the answers to these questions, go to the archives. I'm skipping forward to the one section that I wanted to focus on.
Level where he is now. And is
attention chamber at that time. I would have believed so. So
the upper level where she is now and is very connected. I'm connecting further with that realm, which is filling what had been a big hole in his life.
Mm-hmm. He always had that question, how can there be?
Yes.
Attention chamber at that time. And their take on that, from, at least from the Carla Rucker reading, was that was not a good way to contribute to this realm, because the priests, the darker priests. This is the question. I'm just stopping. This is Lynn Live. It's looking about Egypt, and I'm quoting Carla Rucker there. So I'm just going to let it play out from here. And there'll be no more interruptions. Okay. Took what was contributed and used it to for self-serving and power. And that in that lifetime of Ra-Ta, there was the beginning of actually what some people refer to as the negative secret societies, and where today is known as the Illuminati. It was began, or at least the foothold began at that time, and it was connected to the way the Rod Roof intervened. Now, the gods of the Egypt, all the gods of Egypt, were not, as far as I know, the Ra group. There were lower-level god forms that were vying for power, and they became some of the individuals. They were not group souls. They were individuals who, I don't know if they manifested or were channeled, but nonetheless were part of the negative of Egypt that was started with Ra-Ta, and then Akhenaten tried to fix that, and then that didn't work, and so it's continued to the present time. So that is my knowledge of that, and I'll turn it over to the sources to correct or add to what might be important to share.
Thank you. This is Ra-On, and we bring forth an individual who was there at the time, and he speaks now. I am from the Ra group. I was there at the time. I manifested in the physical by condensing my energies, manifesting my energies into body form. It was a heavy feeling, but a good connection feeling to manifest my energies and to walk around among the people. The manifesting of the energies was startling to some people, and there was more than one of us that manifested our energies. We commanded a lot of attention. We had blonde hair and blue eyes and light skin, and we were more apparent in the area of the head and the heart and the chest, and the other areas. We were somewhat less dense than others, and so we were seen to some degree more like mist that has come together into a solid. We were proud of our appearance and the attention that we commanded as we looked different than the other individuals. And we offered our assistance, and others met with us, priests met with us, and we shared our secrets of manifestation, and they wrote them down, and they took them into their secret societies. They made secret societies at that time as they felt to guard the knowledge and felt that the common man would not be able to deal with the knowledge. They would write it down and study it, and they would then become the conveyors of and holders of the sacred information. We were very happy to share our secrets with these individuals, and we see that it did not work, as the individuals took the information for themselves and did not properly share it with society, as we who are more, you might say, caring and loving, did not see the possibility that they would not share it and that they would greedily hold it for themselves. And there is a word, and we do not know how, there is a concept, but we do not know the word. They would become the self-generators, quote-unquote, of the knowledge, as if they were very important for having the knowledge, and they made themselves important by being superior to others and holding it above the others. And this was not what we intended. Therefore, part of us stays here to undo the wrongs that we have started and misjudged the keepers of the knowledge. That is our answer.
Thank you. When you were manifesting, could you go back and forth? Was it a kind of an energy body? Or once you manifested it, did you stay in this realm and have to
no,
eat and sleep?
No, we could go back and forth. We learned to manifest the body and to appear, but yet we could de-manifest, and we could then go back to our tribe, is not the right word, to our place with, as John Sanborn would say, the sky people, and back to our place within the Ra group, and we then could meet, and the ones that had manifested within the Egypt third density could meet and be debriefed by the keepers of the light, and we could then be instructed on how the next intersection with the realm could take place and could progress. And so we went back and forth.
When you were in the physical part, were you able to create words? Could you do miraculous healings on people because of the way you were interfaced here?
Yes, we could. It took a tremendous effort just to manifest our, we wouldn't say maybe light bodies, but our mist energy bodies. It took a tremendous amount of energy to do that. However, we were able to then use our knowledge of levitation and other things to manifest things both with us and with the people around us that people were amazed about. the priests wished us to not do this for the public, but to instead write down or tell them so they could write down the knowledge of these things and keep it a secret, as they felt that the public was not ready for such miracles.
And of course, by being the keeper of the secrets, they could empower themselves and make people need them.
That is correct. They could command great attention from the individuals, as it is nothing like to know something and to make a paranormal effect that will attract individuals who wish to also do the same or to be able to break free from the realm.
Mm-hmm. And were you involved in the building of the pyramids? Could you share something about that perhaps we wouldn't know through history?
There is a talking to the stones, a command of matter, wherein the stones move with and form, and the molecules form or reform in the manner you call for. It involves around 360 degree we are getting concepts that are beyond our language ability, wherein the surroundings we would have control of the surroundings in a 360 degree area. We would work with mathematics to bring coordinates in for reformation of the stone, and with total perfect affinity instruct the stone how to move and reorganize within the coordinates. It was a miraculous joy.
Wow. You know, I think on some Monday night, if it feels like it's appropriate, okay, on one of our Monday night calls, I would just like to focus on asking about that period. And I think that would be a very special thing. I'm really honored that you chose to come forward.
We are honored that we have found a group that is able to share with the public in the individuals are left in the joy to bring forth information and to share without violating the without having to violate the made up rules of some.
If we want to call on you on a Monday night, is there a special way to address you?
You may address us as you have tonight through Ra'an, as we work Ra'an with Ra'an. We are a division of the world group, and we were called in to speak tonight as we are part of the raw group, which is available to to you as the Ra group and the Ra-On group are a manifestation, which is a translation in a, maybe in your terms you would call it a signal directing, like a switch station that can bring in areas of all that is that you, we, us are wishing and the people on the line are wishing to access.
Well, thank you so much. And we will definitely do a Monday night and bring this section of the Ra group in to talk about the Egyptian epic and just reveal it publicly. And thanks so much for coming in.
You're very welcome. We are honored. We are nervous in that the situation in Egypt did not turn out right. So we work together with you as we and can use discernment for how to share information that went so wrong before.
Thank you. We have a last question, and it's 8:08. I'm running over, and I promised Terry I wouldn't. So I'm just going to ask this one last question. And by the way, Roland Papier, thank you so much for that question. That was really a special thing to just happen just now. And thanks for provoking it. This is from D, and I learned from
is
one of the yes.
Is D in Wisconsin?
D Collier, and where is she? Sorry to say.
Can you unmute her? Is this D Collier?
In Missouri.
Where is she located?
She's in Missouri.
Thank you.
Okay. Actually, I just looked up the question. And I just have her area code, okay? And she asked, I learned from one of the transcriptions that we are to make our own way. And if it does not produce results, try something new. I have been trying new things for years. Currently, I am an insurance agent, a real estate broker, own a small retail herb shop, and trying my hand at network marketing. I've always been like this, but nothing seems to produce very well, no matter how work I hard at one. At any one thing. The only thing I do that brings me great joy is teaching people about the light, doing intuitive readings, and being a support system for people and their problems. I am also very creative. I do not care about being rich, but would like to find an area so that I can pay my bills. My question is this. Does Rahan see me concentrating in one of these areas to the point of helping people and making a living? My husband is very ill, as you know, and I need to take care. I need to know I can take care of us as well as me someday financially. Thanks for asking my question, and thanks for Ron Elohim for watching over me.
Thank you for your question. We send love and light to you and your husband. We will take this under advisement as we scan the area. You are a warm and caring person, and we will take this under advisement. You can start with what your passion is and working with people and doing readings, working with people who we are looking in areas, working with people. There are many people who would be joyed, overjoyed to be able to share your warm compassion and friendship. We look to see what within this area would bring you finances in the area within which you can contribute with your heartfelt caring the most, and still be available for the caring with your husband. We will take this under advisement, as there are things that no one has done which we are looking at, where you could share your compassion and companionship and could be available to individuals. We see many older people who are lonesome and need companionship. We look at possibilities in this area of providing companionship and a listening ear, and yet which would provide you your much needed financial stability. We see if you can think of areas in which this could provide you with money. And at this point, we leave this open for brainstorming. And right now, that is our answer at this point. We love you, as each and every individual on the line. And in this cold winter day, and much of the country or countries, we send you warmth and caring and love. And we leave, but we do not leave out in noise.
Okay, this is Lynn back live. Terry, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
I'm just curious. When we did that session, I know that I had read the raw material, and I was aware of that incident where they had said they manifested bodies, a visible, how did they call it? They didn't call it a light body. They called it a cloud body. And,
it wasn't the same as a light body, but it was like a mist body.
Right. Now, did you read that in the record material? I don't think you did.
I didn't read a lot of the record material. Every time I started to read, like I had volume 5, every time I started to read it, I would come to a stop because there are things that I wasn't putting together. That's why I liked your series of the Love One series made simple.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I didn't read any of books 1 through 4, and I just started to read a little bit of book 5, but I just couldn't keep going.
Because I thought it was amazing, because in general, that was information was in book 1 of the raw material, I believe, where they talked about, briefly, manifesting bodies that were visible. And I even think they said they were blonde and blue-eyed bodies, okay, in the record material. So I don't know if Carla had ever heard that session. I had to send it to her. But, you know, the thing about it is how hard it is for the higher realms to do something down here. And that was a big thing they attempted to do. And that they were attempting to put something out to the public in a public way to give everyone the keys, and how it immediately got absorbed into the priests who were using it to control people from that point on. And that for thousands of years of the history of Egypt, that was being used by the negative. And they were no longer connecting with the Ra group. But they made up a name that incorporated the word Ra, because this manifestation which occurred really impacted people. And so they wanted people to think that they were connecting to that same source, because there would be power in it. And so they called it Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra, which I said earlier, Amen, was the word derivative of Amun, which became and still is the closing word for prayers in Christianity. And then, according to the Rookert material, there was a connection between Ra and Akhenaten, the Egyptian pharaoh. And this was somewhere 3,000 B.C. So that's 7,000 years later, that for 7,000 years, Egypt was under the auspices of the negative. And all of the Egyptian gods were from the lower realms, the Osiris and Set and everybody. And then there was an attempt in Akhenaten's time to outlaw the religious practices that were of the negative and to bring in the real Ra group. And Akhenaten, you know, formerly Akhenaten's name was Amenhotep, and his name incorporated the negative, Amun, Amenhotep. And he changed his name to Akhenaten. Aten was his name for the positive. And, of course, it was called the sun god. And then he was popular for a bit, and then he became very unpopular, because basically he was outlawing the traditional religions of Egypt. And the priests and the people and his own army marched on his city and took it down and tried to eliminate all memory of Akhenaten, and that I have a workshop I did a few years ago. It's called The Egyptian Connection. And it's, if you want to go get it, it's egypt.intelligent-infinity.com. Egypt-intelligent-infinity.com. I think it's a four-hour workshop. And during the first few years, when Daphne was communicating with me, it was pretty evident that I had a connection with this Egyptian pharaoh, and his wife was Nefertiti, and Daphne had a connection with Nefertiti. And there was a time when, and this is on that workshop, Terry, you're breathing in the mic, I think. In that workshop, there's a recording that, you know, this was like a crazy time for me, because we were doing a session, Daphne and I, and this voice came through Daphne that said it was the soul fragment of Nefertiti, and that it was apologizing because apparently Nefertiti started to align herself with the priesthood and started to be against Akhenaten because he was destroying the traditions of Egypt. And it's all pretty crazy, and it sounds interesting. Some of you might have been there. I'm sure some of you were there. And that workshop will kind of open up your resonances. I went into great detail of drawing on a lot of different things when I did that workshop. And I'm glad I don't have to do it again because it was quite emotional. So in any case, it's 7:53. We have 2 minutes. I hope you all found that interesting. And why don't we take a moment of group intention, bring in the light energy, and hold a healing energy for our planet right now, which really needs it. And we know we have these sources with us, holding with us. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person on this line. Any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through the veil, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we invoke this group energy. We invoke the Elohim group. We invoke the Ra group to join us. And we surround our planet in this love light. And that each person that's reaching for it might partake. We send it to all those people in the Philippines. All those souls who have left this realm. And we surround them with love light
wherever they are, and ask our sources to help work with them and release them in the other realms. And we ask for love, light to surround and protect all those people in the Philippines who are homeless, who are desperate, and who are scared, and realize that they are us. And we ask for the higher sources to do what they can to lift the vibration, to create synchronicities, to create the momentum for compassion and help for all those people in the Philippines that are still in bodies. We just ask for our planet to be protected, honoring the highest good and free will, and that we move through this shift as painlessly as possible for the highest good. And on that note, we're going to end this call. And I thank you all for being here, and I will see you Wednesday.